seats, please. Again, if you're privileged as a child to attend a Sunday school or a children's meeting, you undoubtedly heard this story of the crossing of the Red Sea. Oh, how I remember those meetings as a child, and I'm so thankful for my parents for sending me along. As you today maybe would have to draw your mind back, like myself, to remember those days and remember the stories being told. Maybe you can draw your mind back and remember this story. And you remember how it was told by the teacher so vividly. As they would tell the story and give every detail, we would begin to picture in our mind the amazing events that day. As some teachers told the story, maybe they used beautiful illustrations, and therefore it helped us even more to be able to picture the Red Sea and to picture everything that went on that day. To be able maybe to picture the waves, the waters driven back and standing high as walls on either side, and like skyscrapers. The sea, the vast multitude beginning to step into the riverbed. The gap that would have went up as the waters started to separate. Also, the devastation that was caused, as we've read here this morning, as the waters crashed down on the Egyptians' chariots and their riders. Oh, what images flood our mind, pardon the pun, when we think of the Red Sea and the great miracle that occurred there. And it's not just the children. As we would think of the story now, and even as I give some of the details, maybe some of the pictures are coming into your mind. What a wonderful story it is. What wonderful pictures. And it's great to have an imagination to be able to picture these things in our mind. Well, that is a wonderful thing. But how much infinitely greater it would have been to be able to see those events firsthand. To have been there. To see, as I say, the waters divided as Moses stretched forth his rod. To see those first people in faith stepping into a completely dry seabed. As I said, to hear that gasp of the waters were driven back. As they walked in along, imagine being one of those people. Walking in the Red Sea with the water on either side of you. And looking into that water, seeing all the fish and whatever swimming around in it. It is as if the world's first aquarium. What an amazing thing that would have been to be able to see firsthand. And as you would think how great that would be to see those things firsthand, my question is for you today, how would you have responded? How would you have responded to seeing such amazing things for yourself? What effect would it have had on you to see such things? Well, I believe the answer is given to us in God's Word. For we see in God's Word how the children of Israel, the first-hand witnesses, we see how they responded to these things. Now you're probably wondering, where is he going with this? What does it matter how they responded to these things? What application, you're maybe thinking, is there in this for us today? Well, let me put it like this to you. The miracle of which the people were witnessing could be described and is simply the Lord at work. It is seen as the Lord at work in that verse 31. Verse 31 of chapter 14, it says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did." This is what God, Moses, through inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writing these words, says. That this miracle that they saw was simply seeing God at work. And dear friend, we will never see the miracle firsthand. It's gone, and we'll never see anything like it again. But man, brothers and sisters, and boys and girls, we still can see God at work today. God is at work. And I stress the seeing of God at work. See, God is always at work. Yet there's sometimes when we do not see it as we should. Just like the children of Israel here at the Red Sea, they had an unmistakable and an inescapable demonstration of God at work. And there's times in their lives that we have to say the same. We see God is working, yet then there's other times when we do not see it as well, yet God is still at work, and we must remember that. We must remember that. And as we consider that, yes, we'll never see anything as miraculous as the crossing of the Red Sea with our own eyes, God still works. And how they responded to seeing God at work is how we today should respond when we see God at work in our land and in our lives. And that's our application. That is what I want us to see. I want us to see this is how Israel responded to seeing God at work. And as we would leave this place today, we would have in our hearts, this is how I must respond to God working in my life and in my land. So that is what I want us to do today. There is a lesson for the child of God in this sense. The child of God, when the child of God sees God at work in their life, this is how I want you to see we ought to respond. But I also want to speak to the unsaved here this morning. And I want you to note also that God, when He works, and you have to admit that you've seen Him working, that the same responses are called of you. Now, what is the response of the children of Israel? Well, the response of the children of Israel is given in verse 31 of chapter 14 and verse 1 of chapter 15. So let's read those two verses together. It says, "And Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea." Here we have their responses to seeing God at work. Therefore, if I had a title on this message today, it is simply, "When We See God at Work." See with me firstly today, as we take this as our topic of study, that they feared the Lord. They feared the Lord. The first way in which we are told the children of Israel responded to seeing God at work that day was fearing Him. Verse 31 says, "And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord." Now in this chapter 14 of the book of Exodus, the topic of fear is probably one of the overriding topics in this book. And back in verses 10, we have the people afraid. It says, "When Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid." Now here was a fear of man. A fear of man had gripped them because they took their eyes off the Lord, and instead they looked at the Egyptians that were coming after them, and they became afraid. So here we have this topic of fear. We then move on in the chapter, and in verse 13, we have Moses exhorting the people to not be afraid. For there he says, Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not." And then when we have the Egyptians in the midst of the Red Sea, we're told that they were afraid. So here there's much in this chapter to do with fear. And now as we come to verse 31, we see fear again is in view. But it's not a wrong fear. But it is a fear in response to seeing God at work, and that fear is a fear of God. A fear not in the sense of being afraid as they were at the side of the Red Sea when they saw the Egyptians. Not the same fear as the Egyptians had in the water. But this fear that the children of Israel had here, it was a reverence. That's what this, a fear of God in the terms of a child of God. It means to have a holy reverence. Just look at God and be in awe at what He has done. You see, the verse says, the people feared the Lord. The people in this verse is undoubtedly talking about the Lord's people, the children of Israel. Therefore, this fear, as I say, it's a reverence, it's an awe of God. And as they were the people of God in that day, as we who are saved are the Lord's people today, we must respond in the same way. When we see God at work in our land, in our day, it is to be our response that we would fear the Lord. Oh, have we not all seen God at work in recent weeks and months, not just in our land, but right across this world? God has been at work. Each and every one of us have to admit it. But I wonder, how have we responded? Have we responded to this by fearing God? Or have we responded like the children of Israel responded to seeing the Egyptians, Oh, do we have a fear, not of God, not of a rabbit, not of that type of fear, but we have a fear of what all has been going on. Instead of fearing God, we feared the pandemic. Dear Christians, we must realize that God is at work. And if God is at work, God is in control. And if God is in control, it is Him we have to stand in amazement before today and consider what God is doing. You see, many Christians today, and there is many Christians, there's many Christians who have not seen God at work. This is the real problem. It's not that they haven't responded to seeing God at work with fear, but they haven't seen God at work. There's many Christians, instead of seeing we have a sovereign God who is in control of this thing, a sovereign God who wasn't taken surprised by this virus, a sovereign God who indeed sent the virus, instead of seeing all that, they've been caught up in the conspiracy theories. They've been caught up in the blame game. They've been caught up in social media hysteria. And they're failing to see the big picture that this whole pandemic is at the command of God. It's a work of God, just like the splitting of the Red Sea was a work of God. God has been working. And sadly, many have failed to see it. And because they have failed to see it, they do not fear God and give Him the reverence and worship today that He's due. But the point I want to get to is this, that if we would see God at work today, if we would acknowledge that He has been at work, the way in which we must respond is fear. Is this reverence, this holy awe, and this worship, and just bowing before Him and thinking how great Thou art. Great is Thy faithfulness. Oh, so much should fill our mind when we think of what God has done. We, the Lord's people, must see that God has been working. It's God has done everything. It's God who has shut down so many countries. It's God who has shut down and closed those things which have become the gods of man. Dare I also say it is God who has shut the churches. God is in control. God has also shown that He is at work and showing man just how impotent He is. And showing how finite and helpless we are that something as small as a little virus can shut down the world. God has done this. God has been at work. He has been at work in these days. And we therefore would do well to respond with fear. Now, as I say, the Lord's people, this fear is not to being afraid. It's not a trembling and afraid that God's going to strike us down. No, it's not that. It's this reverence. This awe that as we gaze upon God, that we bow at Him and rejoice that He is at work, that He's doing something. Oh, I'm not saying we understand it. I'm not saying I can understand why my church in Monaghan has been closed, say, for nearly 8 months in the last 12. I can't fully understand. I can understand why things have happened as they have happened. And even though we can't understand, and we might never, I believe we won't know at the side of glory, but even though we don't even know in part what is going on, we can still fully know that it is God that is at work. I believe the Church of God in general have taken their focus of the sovereign God. They stopped fearing Him as they once did. And say, this is what the children of Israel did. They took their eyes of God back there in that verse 10. They took their eyes of Him and they began to fear. They began to question God. If you read those verses for yourself in 11 and 12, they're basically saying, why have you taken us out of the land of Egypt? We'd have been better if we would have stayed in the land of Egypt in bondage. Well, how quick they were to forget how bad things were in Egypt. But they began to fear man, and when they began to fear man, they began to question God. But instead of us doing that, let us see God is at work. And although we do not understand it, He is at work. And therefore we must fear Him. And therefore let us get our eyes back on God. See that He is in control. See that He is at work. And then we would no longer fear all that's going on around us. But we would fear the God who is doing it. You see, this is what the people did in our text in verse 31. We see that they feared the Lord. As I said already, I drew your attention to the fact that the people feared the Lord. Now, I want us to consider, yes, in the context, the people here is the children of Israel. But it is also true that other people feared the Lord because of this great work of God. In the book of Joshua in chapter 2, we have the words of Rahab. And Rahab in Joshua chapter 2, verses 9 to 11 says this. And she said unto the men, this was the spies, remember, who went into the land. And this is what she said to those spies. She said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror has fallen upon us, and that the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. In other words, they had heard what the Lord had done. And then if we go on into verse 11, it says, and as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man. Why? Because of you, for the Lord your God, He is God in heaven above and in earth beneath. You see, these people saw, well, they heard, and in this sense they saw what God had done. They had saw God had done a work, and they began to fear Him. And therefore, what is my application? My application is for you if you are unsaved today. If you are unsaved today, you too have to admit God has been at work. And dear Christian, as we would consider how God being at work in a land can put people into a state of fear and to fear God in that sense of terror. Dear Christians, that's exactly what we need to be praying for at this time. Now you might say, no, we don't want, surely this virus, we don't want anybody being afraid of it or anything. But you know what we do? Not afraid of the virus, but afraid of the God who's in control of it. Dear Christians, we need to be praying that God would have Himself seen by sinners, unsaved people, that they may see that there is a God, that they may see that their life is so finite, their life is so futile, and they need a Savior before it is too late. Well, this needs to be our prayer. And I want to speak even more directly to you. I want you to consider that if you are without a Savior, I want to know, have you seen God at work in recent days? Have you seen God at work in all that is going on? I tell you to see that God is showing Himself to you. He is displaying His strength. He is displaying His sovereignty. God is at work. And as you would see that He is at work, you should fear Him. Fear His mighty wrath. Fear His awesome judgment. Oh, that you would see that God has been working this general sense across this world at this time. But think of it on an even more personal level. I wonder, have you ever begun to consider how God has been at work in your life in a personal way? Have you ever thought that for years it is God's work that has spared you? It is God's work that has delivered you out of many trials, out of many near-death experience possibly. It is the Lord in His work that has kept you. It is God in His work that has ordered all things that you would be here in this building again today to hear the gospel even maybe just one more time, to hear a call to repentance and salvation. God is working in your life. Your life personally. Oh, that you would see that God has been at work. And as a result, you would not just respond by fearing Him, but in that moment that you would begin to see Him do another work, and that be a work within your heart, that being the work of salvation. And if you are unsaved, it is my prayer that you would see that work done today. Today, I'm looking at how the people responded to seeing God at work. We have noted that they feared the Lord. This was their first response. See, if we secondly, as we consider seeing the Lord at work, we see that their second response was that they believed the Lord. Look again, please, at Exodus 14, verse 31. It says that Israel saw the great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians, and the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord. Here we are told that the people not only feared the Lord, but they believed the Lord. Verse 13 tells us what God was going to do. Back in verse 13 it says, and Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will show to you today. That's part of what God was going to do. And then the rest of the verse says, for the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more forever. God has told them through Moses what was going to take place. And now as we come to the end of chapter 14, we have God fulfilling that which was promised. You see, they've seen God fulfill His promises. And as a result of God fulfilling this promise, as a result of them seeing Him at work in this way, they believe the Lord more. Their faith is increased in God. They believe Him as He's fulfilled this promise. They believe Him now in everything that He has said He will do. And dear Christian, that's how we must respond when we see God at work. When we see God at work, we should view God at work as God simply fulfilling His promises to us, His people. As we see God do this work, we see we have a God who lives up to what He has revealed about Himself. When God is at work, He gives us a reason to believe in Him. I believe that's what the Lord is doing at this time, giving us a reason to believe there is a God, giving us reason to believe that He is all that He has said He is to us. He has given us reason to believe that He can be depended upon in the time of trial. He has given us reason to believe that He is sovereign. He has given us reason to believe that He will never leave us nor forsake us. He has given us reason to believe that He is our refuge in the time of trouble if we would but turn to Him. When we see God at work, God gives us a reason to believe Him. May God's work always have us respond in belief and faith. Like my last point, I want to talk to you who are unsaved. As you have seen God at work, you too must respond today with belief. Firstly, you must believe, see a belief as with all that's been going on in this world at this time, that God is true in what He has said in His Word, that He will not be mocked. So will you see and believe that man has tempted God in our land and across this world? And because of this, God is working, showing that such tempting and mocking will not go unnoticed and unchecked. As you see these things, will you believe that God will be the judge of all mankind? And as you would think then on a personal level, as you see God preserving, keeping your life, directing you even to this church building today, will you also see that God is not just this God of wrath and judgment, but He's a God of love, a God of compassion, a God who is rich in mercy that He spared you even to this day? Will you therefore see this, will this scene of God at work in your life? Have you respond today by believing that He can and He will save you if you come to Him in that attitude of faith and repentance? Unsaved one, see God at work. Like the children of Israel in our text, believe that He is the Lord. Now our time is almost gone this morning. But there's one more consideration I want to leave with you. And one further response to seeing God at work. We have noted that they feared the Lord. And we've also seen that they believed the Lord. See also that they responded by praising the Lord. He responded by praising the Lord, and we see this response in verse 1 of chapter 15. It says, then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for He hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath He thrown into the sea. Yes, this is a new chapter, but it is an immediate continuation of what has just occurred in the closing verse of chapter 14. And therefore we see that in addition to fearing the Lord and believing the Lord, they praise the Lord. For look how verse 15, or chapter 15 begins. The opening word is then. This is continuing on from what they have just responded. And after responding with fear and with belief, they then responded, wow, then sang Moses and the children of Israel. And then the remainder of this verse, and indeed the following verses, is what is known as Israel's song. A song of praise unto the Lord for what He had just done for them. Brothers and sisters, praising God should be the natural response for the Christian when they see God at work. And that's what we need to be doing at this time, is lifting our voices in praise unto God. Your Christian will go as far as saying, even when we don't see God at work, maybe you're struggling today to see God at work. But even if we don't, even if we don't see God at work, even if we cannot trace His hand in something, even though we cannot see it at work, we know He is at work, and therefore we've got reason to praise Him. Oh, even in the hard times, in the times we cannot understand, we can rejoice that God is working, and He's doing it, what for? For our good. Those wonderful words in Romans 8:28, which I'm sure we all love. We know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. God is working. God is always at work, even when we don't see it, even when we don't understand it. And even in those things we can't understand, He is working those things for good. Christian, we've so much to praise God for today. So much to praise Him for. Oh, that we will be rejoicing and praising God today and always, because He's done so much for us. He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die in our place, to save us from our sin. That is worth an infinity of praise, and that is why we go to heaven, so we can praise Him for all eternity. An unsaved one here today, it is my prayer that before this day is out, that you too will be praising the Lord. You see, when the Lord is at work, and when the Lord saves the soul, the natural response of the one who has been saved is to praise God. Praise Him for salvation. Praise is always the natural response of being saved. I know our time is almost gone, but I want to finish with one verse in the book of Acts. Well, I hope it's the last verse. In the book of Acts. Here we have the lame man. In Acts chapter 3 verse 8, we have the lame man being healed. Not by Peter. And not by John. But he's been healed by the work of God. And we read in his response in Acts 3 verse 8, it says, "And he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God." Not only did he walk and leap for the first time, but here when God has not just healed him physically, but I do believe spiritually, saved his soul. He didn't just walk and leap for the first time, but he praised God for the first time. And therefore, it is my prayer, dear unsaved one, that God would heal you from your sin today. That by His grace you would be saved. And in seeing that work of salvation, you would respond in praising Him. Christian and non-Christian, how are we to respond to seeing God at work? Well, we're to respond like the children of Israel, fearing the Lord, believing the Lord, and praising the Lord. May the Lord indeed take these words and may bless them to our hearts today. Let us please close